people around the world. Take your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's the way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Eric Billingsley,
Tim Coker,
Isaac Wilson.
Yeah, we're here to talk nerdy with you. We're going to read that Marvel movie that wasn't a Marvel movie, Fantastic Four. Also, we'll talk about a few other things here and there. I think we're going to talk about Constantine, or Constantine, your choice. Let's get rolling with it. First of all, you guys, Eric, Tim, you guys haven't seen Fantastic Four yet, have you?
No.
I'm ashamed.
Don't be.
Yeah. You know, normally I would say, Tim, how can you miss a Fantastic Four movie?
But they are my team.
Yeah, I know. It's like, when I think of Fantastic Four, I think of Tim Coker. You know, you're the fifth in the Fantastic Four. But at this time, I can say, you know, you might want to wait.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me that it was at 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. I thought maybe he was exaggerating, but I'm looking right now. The page, and yeah, it's a 9% tomato meter, and the audience score is 23% liked it. I mean, that's wow. Like including like the hardcore fanboys that, you know, won't admit that it sucks even when it does. So.
Yeah, and well, see, here's the deal. First of all, now Tim, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to rely on you because I think you're the expert on the Fantastic Four. Doctor Doom's origin. Did it have anything to do with the Fantastic Four?
No. Their origins were not in common. Doctor Doom had his origin while he was in college with Reed and Ben, and they were still just college students. So, okay. No, their origins are not linked. But screenwriters and producers always want to link the villain to the hero's origin. I don't know why, but starting with like the Tim Burton Batman movie, that's been the custom.
Yeah, and that's what they did, you know, that's what they did when the first Fantastic Four movie, and that's what they've done with this one. They've put his origin, it's like the origin story of the first one, first Fantastic Four movie, they said, well, we're going to keep that. And it's like, it's just like, well, first of all, it just doesn't make sense. Now, the other aspect of the movie that I really found disruptive, and just they could have done without, and it could have been a good movie without the government takeover part. What it was is the government, okay, Reed and Victor Von Doom and Susan Storm have created this machine that'll send them to an alternate dimension. And that's where they get the cosmic rays from, this planet in the alternate dimension. The thing is, after they've proven that they can go there, the guy from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, I can't think of the actor's name, who's a great actor.
But Tim Blake Nelson?
I think that's the, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one. But he's chewing gum. That it's so distracting.
Really?
Every scene he's in, he's sitting there chewing gum like in a very snarky manner. Okay,
and
it's
like, that's irritating.
It very much so is. It's very distracting for one thing. And the other thing is, once they develop this scientific method to go to the alternate universe, he says, "Okay, well, I'll contact NASA and we'll get the CIA involved." And it's like, what? No. That's when Ben, Victor, Johnny, and Reed go to this alternate universe, or you know, this alternate planet. And so they say, well, we're going to be the first ones to go, not some muckety-muck from NASA. So they go. Notice I didn't say Sue Richards goes. She doesn't, or not Sue Richards, Sue Storm, because she hadn't married him yet. They didn't get to do the funky, stretchy disco dance yet. Anyway, so they go to this alternate dimension, and that planet is unstable, and it starts to blow up or does funky things to protect itself, whatever. And they get back into these containment tubes to get sent back, and they have to get her to bring them back. All right, so this part was interesting, and it was like, okay, I can see this, because they explain the powers. You know, and the others, I guess it's like Sue liked to hide from, you know, she wanted to be hidden, so that's why she became invisible. Johnny Storm was a hothead, that's why he developed fire. Ben Grimm's muscles, blah, 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 you know, anyway. So in this one, what it is they come back, but as they come, as they're closing the doors, a fire shoots into Johnny Storm's capsule, a bunch of rocks from the planet, which is really cool because they explain why they're orange.
And it's kind of cute.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool because this planet, it's orange rocks on this planet. And they get stuck to his body as he gets into the tube. Reed, they don't quite explain. Victor gets left on the planet. And Reed, he hears Ben, who's like his friend from fifth grade up, hears him, Reed, I'm covered with rocks. Can you help me? And so he starts dragging himself to Ben, even though his legs are pinned underneath this beam, and he stretches himself. And so Sue, and so Sue comes in, and I still can't figure out, but right as the thing comes back, returns, some kind of wave hits her as she's walking into the laboratory. So it's like, it's like so much that could have been done right at that point, but they missed the mark.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like, I mean, like the orange rock to me is like, finally, now I know why they're orange. I never could figure that out reading. Why has he got orange rocks? You know, there's no orange rock. But, and they also explain why he's not wearing pants.
Okay.
and also they explain, I know a lot of people, and we talked about this on the previous podcast, a lot of people, you know, they had, well, why is Johnny Storm black? You know, first of all, normally it's like, well, it's not that big a deal, but it is a big deal because they're brother and sister and they protect each other. Well, they explain that. She's adopted. I was like, okay, I can live with that.
Fair enough.
That explains it perfectly. Brother and sister, they protect each other still, you know.
Yeah.
That totally erases the whole, well, he's black. Well, no, that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
See, the only issue I had with that was that they were, you know, they're supposed to be brother and sister. I mean, that's the whole point. And but they explained it enough that it's good. So again, they had the potential to be good. Then the government not only wants to take over the capsule, but they also realize these guys have superpowers and they want to run, you know, take over their superpowers. And they spend way too much of the movie talking about how they're using their powers to fight for the army or whatever the case is. And
oh no, really?
Yes. And it's like, no. And then at that point it's a snooze fest. It really
up until
is.
Until like the very, very end.
Yeah, until the very end when they...
5 minutes maybe?
Yeah, to rescue...
When Doom gets back.
Yeah, Doom comes back somehow. They find out he survived on the planet.
His look isn't accurate, but his like attitude and how evil he is pretty accurate to the comics from what I've seen.
Yeah, the whole...
That's good.
His they have like these spacesuits that they go to this planet on, and his suit fuses to his body.
Okay.
The cool thing is, when they see him, when they send, like, NASA representatives to this planet, or, you know, they're all armed, which makes no sense because there's no life on this planet, so I don't understand that. Anyway, so, but they see a figure walking towards him in the distance, and when they show that figure, he's got the green hood and the green cloak, and it's like, oh, cool, they're going to do Doom right at least. And then you see him up close, and you're like, no, they didn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, there were so many times where they could have just made this a great movie, and they just, you just go opposite where you think they're going
to
go.
But to be fair, Doom's powers are pretty cool in this movie.
Yeah, but they don't need to call him Dr. Doom.
So what happened to Ben Grimm's wiener?
They explain that, actually. It's the fact that it's not, he doesn't become rock. It's the rocks from this planet cover his body like a protective shell.
Ah.
Yeah. But the thing, I still want to know how the thing goes to the bathroom.
Good question.
Exactly.
I just think it eventually just seeps through the rocks.
I guess.
That's how he's going to get free. It's just going to erode the rocks.
Erosion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
man, I bet he smells incredible.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I never thought of that. So maybe that's why he's angry all the time.
Yeah, I think you're angry too.
But there was a cute scene where he's basically, his family runs a junkyard, and this is where Reed Richards as a kid is getting the parts. He's stealing them from that junkyard so he can make all these devices. And so that's how they become friends. But there's a cute scene wherever Ben runs inside and his brother is chasing after him. He's supposed to have done some task and he didn't do it. And so he goes, oh, it's clobbering time. And he starts beating on Ben Grimm. So it's like, oh, I see where they got that. Oh, that's cool.
That's good.
That was cute, but, you know, they didn't save the movie. So.
Well, that's really too bad because, you know, Fantastic Four is my jam, right? I really would like for it to be a big hit. I mean, on the other hand, aren't we all secretly rooting for it to fail so that Marvel can get the rights back?
Yes.
Good
that's
point.
What has
yeah.
to happen, that's, yes.
That's the sad thing about Deadpool. They probably won't get the rights back since they're doing it right this time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. You know, I never thought of that. I mean, I was thinking the whole time that, you know, I'm hoping that one time somebody's going to get it right. And
Well, I don't know if you guys heard about Josh Trank, the director, on opening day, that tweet that he sent out and then deleted.
I heard about that.
You know, where he, and there's been a lot of speculation after that because there was a lot that was in the trailers that didn't make it into the movie. There's a major action scene with the Thing, I guess, where he gets dropped out of an airplane and, you know, lands by this Humvee and just starts doing, you know, kind of the military strike scene. And that's in the trailers, but from what I understand, that did not make it into the movie, right?
I think some of it made into the movie.
Like, yeah, I don't think it was pieced together like in the trailer, but there's a scene where he's dropped from a aircraft to get Reed.
They just show like military drone footage of how the Thing does on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it was pieced together in the trailer differently.
It's funny because like the reason Marvel Studios kills it is because all they make is Marvel superhero movies.
Right.
Now they make comedy heist superhero movies. They make, you know, space adventure superhero. You know, they've got all these different genres that they cover, but it's all in the superhero world. And you see the flaw of having superhero movies made by people that also have to make science fiction movies and something to compete with Fast and the Furious. And, you know, like having to make the entire realm of movies that people want to go see. And you've got these fathead executives who really are just trying to defend, you know, to make the bottom line as big as it can be. And from what I understand, it sounds like Josh Trank had a cut of the movie that was essentially taken away from him. And as more and more producer notes came in, and it sounds like it's one of those design by committee kind of movies. But that's really sad that it has to be the FF, because a Fantastic Four movie that's true to the original comics would be so much fun.
It would be.
It would be amazing. It would be so much fun and so exciting. And I mean, you have to go really big. And I think if Marvel got the rights back, they would go really, really big. But I mean, tell me this. Does the Fantastic Four movie look a little cheap?
I don't know.
Sort of.
There's some moments, yeah. There's moments that it does.
Like, Doom's cloak looks a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's cheap.
Yeah, there's moments where it looks like a low budget film, but then there's moments that, you know, there's some cool special effects that, you know, they looks like they might have spent some money on.
Okay,
I don't know.
Well, the guy at Fox that, you know, that runs the studio and kind of, especially with these superhero movies, you know, he's known for having kind of a heavy hand. It's, and actually, the reason Bryan Singer left Fox and went to make that horrible Superman movie was because of this guy's interference. One of the things he does is he's constantly chopping away at the budget and trying to get the movie made for less and less money. So I was wondering if that showed in this, because that's the other thing about Fantastic Four is you really cannot go cheap with Fantastic Four. You've got to go all in.
Yeah. It looks like, you know, it's like, here's what we're going to do. And then, oh, okay, we'll just do it for a few seconds because we can't afford the full 20-minute moment where you need it, you know. That might have been it. But yeah, there's like spurts of really cool stuff happening that looks like a high budget, but then it kind of goes away. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see that. Again, I'm not much of a judge when it comes to cheapness. I love cheapness, so it's like, you know, I've learned to accept it.
Kind of blends in.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, and like I said, they could have cut out the entire U.S. military aspect of this, and it would have been a good film. If they had cut out all that everything that had to do with the government in there, it would have been a good film. That was the part that slowed it down. That's the part I thought made it stupid. It could have been, if they'd cut all that out, it could have been better than the first two movies. As it stands right now, Fantastic Four, the Rise of the Silver Surfer was better than this one.
Shut up.
Yeah. No, it was.
Stretchy disco dance and everything?
And yeah, even more so.
Oh my God.
They could have used a stretchy disco dance in this one.
But is this one better than the first Fantastic Four? The one before
The Roger Corman movie or the first Fox
Fantastic
Four?
No, the first Fox release, yeah. Isaac's never seen the Roger Corman one.
Wait, is there a full version of that available?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I didn't know that. I want to watch that.
I mean, not legally, but, you know, it's out there.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I've seen it at comic conventions. But, yeah, better... The first one, man, it's hard call. It's a hard call. I would have to say, yeah, it was better than this one. Both of them were better than this one.
Wow.
So, I mean, it just and those others, at least I liked watching the scenery. In this one, it was boring. You're basically in the same lab pretty much the whole film, except for the spurts when they go to the planet. But still, you need to see it just so you can agree with me.
I definitely will. I was going to try to go see it today, but drat it, I had actual paying work to do. So, you know, I had to put it off.
Yeah.
But soon. I have to see it, right?
Yeah, you have to. I mean,
all right.
So you can adequately critique it and say, you know.
I'll unload on it next week.
There you go. I mean, like I said, all the things were there for it could have been great, but they just missed it. It's like each time they came around that ring, brass ring, they missed it. Anyway, all right, well, let's see here. What else we got to talk about?
Well, I'm a fan of Constantine, and I know there's a few of our listeners who are. Yes, it didn't get going until probably after the fourth, maybe fifth episode, but once it got its act together and knew what it wanted to do, it got really good very fast. And I really was saddened when NBC said they weren't going to do another season, and I was hoping it would get picked up by another network, and it got shopped around for one reason or another. Nothing happened. Then yesterday or today, I see in my news feed that Constantine is going to be back, not with his own show, unfortunately. He's going to be a recurring character on WB's Arrow.
Cool.
And I guess that they do share the same universe, and I guess have appeared in comics before, so there's a precedent for that. I haven't watched any Arrow, wasn't planning on it, but now...
Binge-watching.
I guess I'm going to have to check it out, because I do want to see more Constantine.
Tim Coker, did you ever get caught up on Arrow?
Yeah, I got through the end of the first season, or the end of this last season.
Okay. I knew you were behind it a while, and it's one of those touch-and-go series as well.
Yeah, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with it, where, I'll tell you what, there's nothing else like it, but... It isn't really made for me, I'll say that. Mm. But even with that in mind, this last season was bananas.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the whole... Well, we're not going to get into a whole Arrow recap, but I just want to say Arrow. I'm going to call you Arrow Billingsley now. It is a legitimately crazy show. Like, you really don't know what's going to happen. And I don't say that necessarily in a good way, but I'm never quite sure what they're going to pull. So you got that going.
Well, with Constantine on there, I think I might, you know, I'll be watching Arrow anyway, so
right.
I'm definitely going to make it more of an effort to keep up to date on it if they're going to have him on there. Because, again, anytime they have crossovers, you know, that just makes comic book TV shows, movies, anything that much better because they're that much more fun.
Right.
And so speaking of which, how about that Supergirl is not going to have anything to do with the ongoing DC series?
Nope. And that's why it's kind of surprising with what's happening with Constantine is DC seems determined to keep every movie and every franchise completely separate in its own hermetically sealed universe with no crossover whatsoever. I know why they're doing it, just to make it easier on them as writing so that they don't have to keep up with all those things that Marvel is, you know, yes, I'm sure it's a pain in the butt for Marvel, and it's certainly a pain in the butt for their directors that they're hiring to have to keep, you know, within all of these very tightly constrained things that they've set up in the universe. But that's part of the joy. I mean, they're doing something now that no one has ever done, and DC seems content to just, you know, crank out the same old
meh. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, it's on a related note here. I saw an interview with Ralph Macchio. You know, he was a editor for Marvel Comics for a long period of time.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was
not the same Ralph Macchio, Eric.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
What? Anyway, they'd asked him a question, what was the hardest thing about being editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics? And he said, continuity. He said, constantly checking continuity. He said, he goes, every time we'd mess up a continuity issue, we got letters. Yeah. And he said they'd either try to go back and correct those some way somehow. He said that was the biggest pain in being a Marvel Comics editor is the continuity, because fans, we notice them, and we're sticklers. Don't change my Spidey, you know. Like the whole clone issue and thing like that. So, yeah. But and I think that's one of the, I can see how it could be a pain in the butt in these TV and movie series ongoing. But, you know, the fans want it. And if the fans are ones that are going to be buying those tickets or watching those TV shows. I think they should make that effort.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially with DC, like, how confusing is it going to be when that Flash movie comes out in 5 years or whenever it is they have it planned? And it's nothing like the TV show that people have spent all these years watching. I mean, I'm not saying that it should be. I'm not saying that the world is crying out, you know, for movies with Grant Gustin as the Flash. But on the other hand, it seems weird. I don't know. It all just feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like if you toy around with my continuity, then, you know, you're going to alienate the audience a little bit.
Yeah.
But well, speaking of which, I just recently posted on the Nerd Up Podcast Facebook page a list or a little graphic with all the upcoming movies all the way up to 2019. And starting next year and the year after, we're going to have 7 comic book movies hit the theaters.
Wow.
Next year and the year after, 7. And then the year after that, it's going to be 5. And the year after that, it's 4. But that's just only planned ones. They could probably put more in there between now and then.
Definitely.
But, I mean, that, you know, when have we ever seen that in our lifetimes? You know, 7. That's awesome.
It's crazy. It's really crazy.
And we all know, you know, it's going to be a mix of good and bad. But we'll watch every single one of them.
Yeah, it's true. For reals.
Tim, which ones are you looking forward to, whether good or bad?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously I'm in the tank for Marvel on this stuff, but even out of their slate, I'm really excited about Black Panther. I just think and you know, I can geek out a little bit now because they finally an image of him from the set of Captain America Civil War is leaked. And he looks pretty cool. You know, I mean, he didn't look exactly like I expected him to, but that's all right. It's, you can never judge these things from seeing him out of context. Mm-hmm. But just seeing him was like, wow, they're really doing this. It's, I don't know why, but when I was a kid, he was always a character that made an issue cooler if he showed up. I don't know why, but I always just really liked having him around as a character. And I think that he's going to bring a totally different vibe to the Marvel Universe. I mean, not just being a black guy, you know, that's
right.
It's a pretty white gang, you know, so that in itself is going to be strange. But all of the particular things about him, about being, you know, being royalty and being kind of this outsider who is, he basically has everything that anybody could ever want, you know, and yet he's kind of from this other world, you know, that people don't even know about. I don't know. Did you guys ever read the comics by Reginald Hudlin?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah, he's the guy, like, he did Barbershop and a couple of other movies as African-American director. And his line on Black Panther is that he's the black Captain America.
Right. Okay.
And so it's a great character for Marvel to finally, you know, go into that group. But
wouldn't he technically be the black? I'm sorry, the Captain Wakanda.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what he's saying is that he stands for. Oh. It's what he stands for. You
okay,
know.
Okay.
And I really think that I don't know. I think it just has the possibility to be a very different movie in the same way that, like, Guardians of the Galaxy was a very different movie than the others, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and one of the things did you ever see the animated series they had on BET, Black Panther?
Yeah, and that was an adaptation of the Reginald Hudlin stories.
Oh, what? Okay, well then, okay. Because I love that, and they used a lot of, I don't even know what to call it, but it was still shot, maybe, where there weren't any real... There wasn't any movement to the animation. It was just like the frame would it'd be like the picture, and they'd be narrating over the still picture. And
it was like an early version of the motion comic.
Yeah, there we go. That's right. It. Yeah. And it was I loved that. And that series, I can say that I have seen this guy's work, but I like that. They really, to me, they captured the essence of what I'd always thought Black Panther was.
Yeah. Actually, I recommend checking the show out. You know, I wish it was more extravagantly done, but it looks great because it's based on really good art. So, and the stories are good.
Yeah. Isaac just pulled up the pictures of Black Panther that have leaked.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah. you know, I don't have a problem with the way he looks at all. Not at all.
Yeah, we need to put a moratorium on that word leak because
I don't want
to buy any of this leaked stuff.
Yeah.
yeah, I agree with that.
It's all very carefully calculated to make people think that they're getting something early or getting something that they weren't supposed to see.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it just varies the sources so that there can be a steady drumbeat every day of something coming in, but it isn't always coming out of the same pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it easier to pay attention to it.
Definitely so. And it makes it, you know, I don't know, it really, as nerds and fans, we love the leaked because it's like, oh my gosh, look what they're going to do, you know?
Right. Right.
So, or it's like, and they know that.
Or it's like, oh my gosh, look at what they're going to do.
Right.
Like with the Wonder Woman.
Speaking of leaks, though, when are we going to see something that has to do with Doctor Strange? I know they haven't actually started shooting yet, but I'm so excited about that movie, too. So
yeah.
That was one that I was going to say I was very curious about and have heard very little. But, I mean, that's coming up July 2016. So surprised we haven't heard or seen something at this point. Hey,
you're right. They should have something. If they got Black Panther leaking already, you know.
But it's not his movie. He's just showing up in Captain America Civil War.
That's right. Yeah. So that's coming out sooner. But still, Benedict Cumberbatch with that goatee. I want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, great casting.
And Tilda Swinton is the Ancient One?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a terrific actor.
Tilda Swinton is in a Marvel movie.
I know.
The universe explodes, you know? That's crazy.
Well, when I heard Kate Blanchett was going to be in Lord of the Rings, I was like, oh, wow, this all just got a lot classier and got a lot more legitimate. But I'm looking forward to, you know, obviously Civil War and the next Avengers movie. I'm also very, very, very much looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, we've got to wait 2 years for that one.
Yeah. I will certainly go see X-Men Apocalypse. I'm not nearly as harsh on the last one as most of you guys are. although I admit it's got some major, major problems. But it kind of made me more interested in the X-Men universe again. I'm really ticked off that they've recast, even though they recast her with one of my favorite actresses. I'm really ticked off that they, you remember the character at the beginning of the last one that I really, really loved and is played by this very kind of cute and very unique looking Asian actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I hope they really bring that character back. And they apparently have and are featuring that character more significantly, but they have recast her. But it's with Olivia Munn, so I mean, I can't really complain about that.
No, that's not the same character.
It's not.
No, she's playing Psylocke, and she has what is probably the most faithful, like at least one of the most faithful comics to movie transition costumes I've ever seen.
Oh, is that right?
Like, she looks exactly like a Jim Lee, you know, Psylocke with all the weird straps around her legs and arms and stuff.
Cool. I haven't seen the pictures of from the movie yet.
I totally thought she was playing Blank. But maybe that means that Blank is going to be in the movie and I just haven't seen her character yet.
I don't think she will because this movie takes place in the 80s and Blank should be like a 21st century character. So if the one thing from the X-Men comics that the X-Men movies reproduce flawlessly is the hopelessly jacked up continuity that will never make sense.
True.
Right.
I'm afraid you're right.
So,
there.
You know, I mean, I gotta say that is the most faithful thing about that series is the way that none of it makes sense if you look at it all together. But it's all right, man. As long as it makes good stories.
Now, the thing I like is that they're doing, three if you count Deadpool, but they're doing two X-Men solo films, Wolverine 3 and Gambit. And I've always liked Gambit anyway, but I thought that was odd that they're actually doing the solo
and
movies.
They're apparently using the Old Man Logan as the basis for the new movie because this is going to be supposedly the last Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Old Man Logan, I guess, is supposed to be a classic story that was very positively received. So I don't know too much about it, but it makes me curious to see it.
Either that or they could do death of Wolverine and, hey, we're good. Or,
did you read it, Gil?
No, I never did.
It's a Mark Millar comic, and it is like the most Mark Millar comic you will ever read. Like, good and bad. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's got the big grabby concepts, but it's just as like meat-headed and dumb too, you know?
Because
Mark Millar, man, he's, you know, he really is not afraid to pitch his stuff low. Like, he's kind of the Michael Bay of comics, but a little smarter and more self-aware. And it's very like, yeah. So if you like Mark Millar, or if you find his idiosyncrasies funny, then it's worth checking out.
Well, see, that's the thing. I've always thought his stuff was more humorous. Is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally, yeah. He's got that very kind of macho locker room humor.
Right.
Kind
yeah.
Of thing
yeah.
Going.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, because yeah. I was like, when you're way you're talking just then, I'm like, uh oh, was I not supposed to be laughing at those parts?
Oh no, you are. You okay. are definitely. But it's yeah, no.
Yeah.
But
the meat-headed
yeah, it's
comedy.
Fun. It's crazy. Old Man Logan is like in a post-apocalyptic future, and it's, you know. So, like, he's old, and the Hulk is old, and,
okay. oh,
and
wow.
you know, there are, like, gangs of Ghost Riders and stuff. Like, there are different descendants of different characters kind of factoring in, and different dynasties and gangs.
Oh. Well, that'll be interesting, so then.
Yeah, it could make an amazing movie.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to go with the Gambit with the origin story of him or something, because, they, you know, he's only been, like, partially in one of the movies. But
right.
Can I just say that Channing Tatum is so freaking overrated. Oh, my God.
What's he doing? Is he Gambit?
He's Gambit, from what yeah. I heard.
Oh, my yeah. God.
Can you imagine hey. Channing Tatum doing a Bayou accent?
No,
it's I'm afraid. I'm really afraid.
I'm no longer wanting to see this.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you guys know where I can get my Tatum's channed?
There's a salon here Sorry. In town. I think it's listed right under Brazilian or something.
I can't take credit for that. That was a tweet from Stephen Colbert.
Love that man. But I did want to bring up too that, and maybe we mentioned on a previous cast, but the Punisher is going to be joining Daredevil this season, and the things I've been hearing are very, very positive. It's just going to be a super, super violent season, wall to wall action and death and destruction, and I'm really looking forward to it.
As any Punisher appearance should be.
Absolutely.
I can't remember it. There's one. It's in trade paperback form, but there's one series of Punisher where he's captured by these people that they're torturing him. And one of the things they do to torture him, this is in the comic book too, by the way, is that all these guys, Tim Coker, let me know if you've read this or not, but it's all these guys pee in this bag and they stick it over his head and it's like waterboarding with urine. I mean, in a plastic bag. And it's like one of the most disgusting, and it's like the opening scenes to this comic run of the Punisher. It's like, I wish I could remember which what the title run for it was, but it's like, well, you start off with that and you're like, oh crap.
Yeah, you know they're not playing.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. that's the way every time I think of the Punisher, I think of that scene in that comic. And again, it's in trade paperback. That's where I read it, was quite a few years ago in trade paperback form, so I don't know when the actual comic run came out, but wow. So every time I think of Punisher, that's what I think of. So,
Has anyone seen Punisher Warzone? It was the last Punisher movie that was made.
No.
It was by far the I mean, I've never read the comic, but all the Punisher movies that have been made, it was so much better. Definitely check it out. I would like to hear what your opinion is, especially if you guys have read the Punisher comics. You would know how true it's being, but it's called Punisher Warzone. It's probably on Netflix. Put it in your queue and check it out and let me know what you think.
Well, if it's based on the comic run Punisher Warzone, then it might be pretty darn good.
I really enjoyed it. It's been a while. In fact, I might watch it again myself, but I do remember really being surprised, because I think it was direct-to-video, and I was like, God, this is going to be terrible, and it was anything but. But the guy who's playing the Punisher in Daredevil is Sean Bernthal from Walking Dead.
Yeah, Shane from Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think he's going to be actually really good for that role.
He's got the looks. He definitely has the jaw for it. So,
yeah, he looks like Frank Castle.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's going to be cool. And Shane Bernthal, we almost met at Horror Hound.
Yeah, he left early.
Yeah. Also, one of the upcoming movies in the Marvel comics realm, not done by Marvel Movie Studio, Fantastic Four 2. Do you think they were kind of... You know, jumping the gun.
Premature.
Yeah, there you go. Premature announcement.
It does seem like it. Yeah, it seems like they were like, they got to look confident, right? That's the whole thing. But yeah.
Unless they say it's... Fantastic Four 2, this is where we fix it.
Fantastic Four Which... 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could do it. If they could pull it out, I'd be happy. I don't want the Fantastic Four to fail, but it does seem kind of optimistic.
Yeah, I thought so. But yeah, it looks like DC's trying to keep up with the Avengers and doing the Justice League movies, and we'll see how they go with that. Now, we got a Captain Marvel coming out. On the list that I posted, it has Captain Marvel, and then the next symbol, it looks like, I thought it at first was the Flash, but someone was telling me that's the Shazam symbol.
Oh, it probably is. They're making a Shazam movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With The Rock as Black Adam.
Right.
And, I'm wondering if that's what that logo was supposed to be. I thought it was the Flash 2 or something, because they had the Flash. But then I looked at it, the Flash has got a different logo.
Supposedly that's happening. I'm not going to badmouth The Rock, you know, he's all right, but... Yeah. My love of Captain Marvel is very like my love of Tintin, and it's very much rooted in how much I love specifically the original creation of the character. And I don't think that unless you have somebody really, really gifted with a super light touch, I just don't see, you know, how you can recreate that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't trust the DC studios, those Warner Brothers. I don't trust them doing...
No.
Captain Marvel. Now, it is they're having to call it Shazam due to legal reasons, fun legal reasons. So,
right.
But we all know it's Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr. and Mary Marvel. And what was the tiger's name?
Mr. Tawny.
And possibly Ronda Rousey is Miss Marvel.
Well, no, that's a different, that's Marvel's Marvel.
Different Marvel. Okay.
Yeah.
God, that's the reason why DC has to call this character Shazam.
Yeah.
Because
they're releasing Captain Marvel right before Shazam, which I don't know. Well, see, here's the thing. You know, you guys know we're trying to bring Jackson Bostwick, the first TV Captain Marvel Shazam, to our NerdCon next year.
Yeah.
And you guys got to help me out here. I'm trying to get Isaac to cosplay as Captain Marvel Jr. Because wouldn't that be cool awesome. having his picture as Captain Marvel Jr. taken next to Jackson Bostwick?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I know. But
could it really like play up the Elvis side of it too? You know, because Elvis based his whole 70s look on Captain Marvel Jr.
Yeah, and he could.
He really did. Elvis was a huge Captain Marvel Jr. fan, so that's where the high folded over collar and like the waist length cape and all that, and the kind of uniform quality of it. That's all based on Captain Marvel Jr.
Seriously, I can't believe I've never heard that. Wow.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, too, when you look at it. When you look at a good Captain Marvel Jr. photo or drawing, you're like... And Isaac already dyed his hair black for the Vegeta cosplay, so why not?
It's wearing off already.
Bring
it back!
Yeah, dye it back and be Captain Marvel. That would be
Never
so cool.
Again.
I can get you those boots. I'm telling you.
Never again.
Few other upcoming movies that Marvel DC coming out with. Let's see here. We got Spider-Man. Now, that's a relaunch of Spider-Man, isn't it?
Yes.
Now
a third reboot.
Yeah. Are they going to tell another origin story?
No.
No. They said they were not.
Okay. Good. Then I might be happier.
We don't need to worry about Uncle Ben dying for a third
time. But at the same time, it's a younger Spider-Man,
which is good.
Yeah.
Because that's how he is.
The kid really, really looks like a teenager. Like he does not look like he's a 30-year-old. You know, like it isn't like Grease. You know.
Rizzo, you're pregnant. How can that be? Well, I am 35 years old.
Seriously. Yeah, no, they by the look of the actor that they cast, they really are pretty serious about. And they're keeping him in high school for the whole movie. He's not.
Cool.
You know, it's not going to be have him graduate in the first third of it, you know, and then off he goes. So
with great power comes great scholarships.
And of course, you guys have heard that Martin Freeman is supposed to be playing some sort of important role in the new Spider-Man movie.
Really?
And there's a lot of speculation that he's playing Spider-Man as a middle-aged Spider-Man.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work into this movie.
Oh, don't tell me they're doing a clone saga.
I don't know what they're doing. And it still hasn't been confirmed what character he's playing. Mm. So this is all just speculation. But some people have said that he may be playing the villain. I can't remember. They had a specific villain in mind. But It's interesting.
All right. Well, I got to talk about the big elephant in the room, Deadpool, rated R. Is this the first comic book movie rated R?
No.
Punisher Warzone was rated R.
Okay.
That's true.
Blade was rated R.
Blade was rated R. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, and I think Blade was rated R because of the violence.
Ghost World was rated R. It's not a superhero comic at all.
Oh, okay. Well, now Deadpool being rated R because of language. Now, I just recently saw that new trailer for Deadpool, and this one, are either of you guys familiar with the Deadpool comics at all?
No.
A little, yeah.
Okay. Well, they're bringing back the original, like, after Rob Liefeld stopped with Deadpool and they started having his funny moments start, because he was serious at first. And then he started breaking third wall like you wouldn't believe, started breaking the fourth wall like you wouldn't believe, and just went all out. And at that point, he had a roommate named Blind Al, and is an old lady. In the comics, they drew her to look identical to Aunt May, and the only thing she's like Aunt May with sunglasses.
That's hilarious.
It was awesome through the series, and he was always picking on her. I think he killed her a couple times. And she cleaned up after him, but she's blind. And I mean, they're bringing her into the movie, and I'm thinking, okay, they're really doing a great job of it. Because if they're bringing her into this, they're making, you know, a part of the Deadpool that's important to, you know, the fans. If you really want to read Deadpool, read those issues with Blind Al in them. It's his housemate, or what, I don't even know, his maid. It was almost like what's the old man's name in Archer that takes care of Archer.
It's killing me. I can't remember.
His butler. Anyway, it's kind of like that guy. That's how Deadpool treats Blind Al. It was like Archer treats this guy. So, who, by the way, the voice actor for that just recently passed away.
No, really?
Yeah.
So then now they got to
kill
him.
Oh, that's terrible.
Them.
Yeah. So, and then if you noticed in the last season of Archer, he went missing anyway. So it's like, okay, they were ready for it. I don't know. So, but yeah, he just passed away. So the next season is not going to have him for sure.
Oh, how sad.
It is. It really is. Because he was a funny character too. But that's how Archer would always pick on him. That's how Blind Al was to Deadpool. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a good Deadpool movie. I've been a fan of the comics ever since Rob Liefeld couldn't draw his feet. To me, in fact, there was a few scenes that were, or not scenes, but some pictures that were released, and there was like some action scenes taking place on a bridge. They showed him only from like the calves up, and there's someone said that this is a nod to Rob Liefeld because of this. And I was like, that's funny if it's true.
If that's the case, I worship them.
And then there also, I saw another thing. I think it's just might have just been a meme anyway, but if Stan Lee makes a cameo in Deadpool, Deadpool has to recognize him.
Of course. That would be the best thing.
It would. Like,
wait,
hey,
you're Stan Lee.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, speaking of which, Stan Lee makes no cameo whatsoever in the Fantastic Four movie.
Wow.
Nor is there any after credit scenes.
Yeah, nor are there any after credit scenes.
Huh.
Fantastic Four is about as far as you can get from a Marvel movie as possible, it looks like. So,
yeah, it really sounds like they're trying to kind of do their own thing.
Yeah, So, but anyway, that was the whole side note. But yeah, I mean, I think the Deadpool thing, the way they're promoting it. Did you see the promotion of where Ryan Reynolds was promoting the Fantastic Four movie? Did you see that? Where he's like in a smoking jacket.
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
It was hilarious. And just the promotions alone sounds like they're going to be having a good Deadpool movie. And that's the one I'm excited about. And that's the one's coming out next, actually. It's going to be February. That'll be the first one of next year, actually. And first one of next year will be February. It will be Deadpool. Then that stupid Batman Superman thing.
Tell me, do you bleed?
And the thing X-Men Apocalypse and Civil War, Captain America Civil War, they're coming out in the same month. You think it's going to be another one of those times where they say, well, let's back ours up a little bit?
I don't know.
Because Civil War, you know, is just going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be killer. I don't know. Because it's hard to say which one of those is gonna do better business, because I mean Civil War, they're really pulling out all the guns pretty much, but I don't know, man. Superman versus Batman, unless the movie is really like Fantastic Four bad, he says referencing a movie he hasn't seen. it's hard not to imagine that movie just making all the money, even regardless of quality.
Yeah, well,
if it delivers the spectacle, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're coming out in March, and then Civil War is coming out in May, so we got recovery time.
Yeah, right, right.
But yeah, whether it's good or bad, people are going to flock to see it. You're absolutely right on that. I mean, it's going to be one of those that people are going to spend their money on that one because, first of all, it's coming out in March. And second of all, I mean, that's one of the biggest DC movies to hit the screens because they're bringing in several characters. They've never done anything like this before.
No, it's all at once. You know, that's the crazy thing about it is it's all, it's everybody at once. They're not like setting it up one at a time like Marvel did.
Yeah, which is kind of a shame. But, they said, well, I guess we got to hurry and get that in. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. February of next year is going to be the beginning all the way through. Next year we go all the way through October. Yeah, Gambit will be October. That'll be the last one. Deadpool will be the first one. So we got 7 superhero films released next year. That's just the Marvel DC films.
Oh my God.
It's going to be an interesting year next year. It's going to be it's going to be Nerdvana.
Well said.
So I just wrapped up watching the first season of Other Space on Yahoo Screen. It's I guess Yahoo's first venture into original programming, and it's got Joel Hodgson and Trace Beaulieu from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and that's the main reason I think I watched it. And Tim Matson had actually watched the first episode and had recommended it, so I thought I'd check it out. And I've been gradually watching it and finished it up. It's worth checking out. It's a very specific kind of quirky sense of humor that you'll either find appealing or it will completely turn you off. But I'd suggest that sci-fi fans pick it. There's a little bit of Galaxy Quest in it, but it's like it's really, really low budget, and I think in some ways that kind of hurts the believability of things because it is kind of made on the cheap. But it's the characters and the actors that I really enjoy. I mean, the guy who plays the captain is just this kind of whiny, slightly effeminate, but one of these people who is always winds up heading up a committee and trying to make people like him. And yet, man, he's the opposite of what a good manager is. He wants to be a good manager of his crew, but he fails at every possible opportunity.
Kind of like the hologram from Red Dwarf. What's his name? Was it Rimmer?
I haven't seen Red Dwarf, but I've heard comparisons of that too.
Oh.
But he's got this, I think it's his twin sister, which is kind of funny because he's quite obviously of Indian descent, and she doesn't look Indian at all. But anyway, that's beside the point. She's actually the one who is qualified to be captain, but she's like constantly scowling, total pessimist, believes the worst in any possible situation. And so there's this constant heat between them as they battle brother and sister for control of the ship. But there's just a lot of really talented actors in it, and I find it really funny. So I'm hoping people will check it out. I'd like to see it get a second season and hopefully get a little bit better budget, because I think that they could do quite well as long as they had better sets and better special effects. But and also Quark. It reminds me a lot of Quark.
Now, you said this is on Yahoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yahoo Screen.
That's Yahoo Screen. All right. I remember you guys talking about it before, and I think I had that same reaction last time. I was like, Yahoo? Really?
Yeah, I know. Everyone's jumping into the original programming market now.
Cool. Well, speaking of Joel Hodgson, I know Isaac's been dying to talk about this with you guys and try to convince you guys to watch Steven Universe.
More specifically, Tim Matson, because I'm pretty sure Sam wants it.
Okay. So I guess we have to get Tim on this, but... Joel Hodgson plays the mayor on Steven Universe, and I just found out the other day that Estelle, the singer, she did that thing with Kanye, American Boy or something like that, she's the voice of Garnet in this series. You guys got to watch this series. It's pretty darn cool.
It's what's making cartoons be good again.
Mm.
I've heard really good stuff about it.
And it's written by Rebecca Sugar, who's got this talent for creating quirky series. And the thing is, the episodes are only really like 11 minutes long, although there are like 60-some-odd episodes.
But yeah. Is it like on Adult Swim or what?
No, it's on regular Cartoon Network.
Oh. Huh.
And it's an ongoing... At first it seems like, it's just kind of a silly show, but
About episode 20 onwards.
Yeah, especially episode 20. But all of the episodes tie in, and it's one big story.
Yeah.
And it's really got a neat concept. Isaac made me watch it, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I mean, he did that with Dragon Ball Z and made me watch it, and I'm still like, yeah, whatever. But with this one, I sat down and watched it, and I'm like, this is pretty cool. And I really think you guys ought to at least check out the first 20 episodes. Like I said, they're only like 11 minutes long.
I'd say first 26.
Okay, first 26. There you go. There's your number. Why 26 and why not 21?
Because 26 is mid-season finale.
Oh okay. So
see?
That's when it gets intense.
But yeah, seriously, it's very interesting. It's got its quirkiness. It's got some silliness to it, like a Cartoon Network show does. But it's got a cool storyline to it. And basically, these gyms are here to save the Earth. But babysit, yeah. The guy from the middle, he plays Brick in the middle. If you ever watch that TV series, he does one of the characters. The voice work they have is just really cool. And but yeah, you guys need to check that out. It's worth it. And Joel Hodgson reminded me of that. So
I'll warn you, it's not on Netflix.
Yeah,
it's
why
I know, right?
But can't you watch it on CartoonNetwork.com?
You can if you have Dish, I think.
Okay.
But it might be on Hulu, because I think Cartoon Network has a thing with them. No,
I was pretty sad when Cartoon Network shows disappeared from Netflix.
Yeah. Did they sign with Hulu and went with them instead or something?
No idea what the behind the scenes story was.
Netflix's collection is so random and so transitory, and you never know when something's going to show up, and it may disappear like a few weeks later and with no fanfare whatsoever.
Well,
but I heard though that on speaking of Cartoon Network, I've been hearing actually from several different places that the Adventure Time, which I've never watched and it's been on my list to check out, did a really clever parody of Fury Road that I'm wanting to check
really?
Out.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That sounds like something they would do. I haven't kept up with the series either because I'm not like an avid Cartoon Network watcher.
What's his name that was does the voice of Fry?
Bender. John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio. Bender. Yeah he does the voice work on there too. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I
have to check that out.
I would say, Eric, Adventure Time is the best thing going right now.
Oh. Really? Wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's another show that I like as much as Adventure Time. Like, I think the only show I watch I like better than Adventure Time is Deadwood, probably.
Wow. Well, then you know what? If you like Adventure Time that much, Tim, you really should check out Steven Universe.
Oh, I definitely will, after what you guys said. Yeah, no, that's my next thing.
Yeah.
Wait, so are you kept up with Adventure Time?
I haven't seen the last season.
Okay, I don't think this is in the last season, but the episode where it catches up, here's some nerd talk that you guys won't understand what's going on. The episode that catches up, it tells like the backstory of the Ice King and Marceline.
Oh my God, yeah.
Rebecca Sugar wrote those episodes too.
Oh, those are phenomenal episodes.
Yeah.
So there's all right, that's excellent.
Like I said, I've watched Adventure Time a few times, and I have enjoyed every single one, but I've never kept up with it like I did with Steven Universe once Isaac got me addicted to it. So, all right, so I guess that does it for this episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. Once again, don't forget, support the podcast any way you can, any which way you can. It's awesome because we love you if you do it. We love you anyway, but we love you a little bit more. You're like the firstborn when you support us, but you're just like the regular kids when we don't. We still love you, but we love the firstborn the most.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I know, right? So we got all sorts of t-shirts, coffee mugs, backpacks, messenger bags, all sorts of stuff you can purchase with the beautiful artwork from Tim Coker. And also, get your t-shirts. That's the best part about it. Get those t-shirts, wear them around. People can say, what's the Nerd Up Podcast? And you say, well, let you listen. And everybody loves it at that point. Support the podcast. Also, on our nerdappodcast.blogspot.com page, there is a link for a fundraiser, a GoFundMe account to bring Captain Marvel to NerdCon next year. If you can and want to make a donation, we're trying to raise funds to get not only him, but a few other celebs to come to NerdCon. And any way we can raise the money to do so, we'll be glad to take your money for that as well. And again, if you're going to shop Amazon, you might as well go click on one of the links on our website. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it kind of throws some more money our way. So there's all sorts of ways to support the podcast. So do it and have fun. In the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me at Gil Wilson on Twitter.
I'm Eric Bill at Eric Bill.
Wait a minute.
And I'm Tim Coker at Tim K Has to Say.
And I'm Isaac Wilson at EvilBacon88.
And I guess that's ways to get a hold of us. So I guess that ends the Nerd Up podcast this time around. Like we say every single time, stay nerdy. Nerd Up.
Grandma, can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh my, you might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you? Are you on Medicare? You may qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Call the Health Hotline to see if you qualify. Our friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have braces for your shoulder, ankle, or back pain. And if you're covered by Medicare, you may qualify for free delivery.
Grandma, slow down. I can't keep up.
Maybe you can use a knee brace too, Ellie. Catch me if you can, kiddo.
Call now to get your pain-relieving knee brace.
800-301-2963. 800-301-2963. 800-301-2963. That's 800-301-2963.